Grace, mercy, and peace to you from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for the homily is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 29 to 31, which served as the epistle for the third Sunday after the Epiphany, Series B. Before the text is read, however, we need to set the text in its context. In the seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians, St. Paul has been answering questions that had been asked by the believers in Corinth in regard to marriage. While he expressed a preference for the single state, he did not forbid the marriage of Christians. In verses 10 and 11 of chapter 7, Paul wrote, "To the married I give this command, not I but the Lord, that the wife should not separate from her husband, and that the husband should not divorce his wife." In the verses immediately preceding our text, the Apostle Paul said, "Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you do not sin. And if a virgin marries, she does not sin. Yet those who marry will experience distress in this life, and I would spare you of that." In the verses immediately that follow the text, St. Paul stated, "I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the affairs of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about the affairs of the world, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried woman and the virgin are anxious about the affairs of the Lord, so that they may be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about the affairs of the world and how to please her husband." And now the text, reading from the New Revised Standard Version. "I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away." Bible students have differed over Paul's use of the words, "the appointed time has grown short." Some understand that Paul is referring to people's life expectancy. Others understand that the Apostle Paul is referring to the persecution of Christians, which was mounting. Of course, he himself took part in that. Still others see the words pointing to the return of Jesus Christ in glory. All three interpretations provide opportunities for practical applications and call for, as it were, a reality check. Some in the healthcare industry today are predicting that with proper care, people may live to be 120 years old and even 200 years old. Coincidentally, a comment to that effect appeared in yesterday's Post-Dispatch. However, accidents, such as the accident that claimed the lives of three medical students from Washington University recently, are no respecters of persons and of age. Young adults and even children are claimed by cancer. And even though Psalm 90 refers to lifespans of 70 and 80 years, we have no guarantee as to how long we shall live here on earth. Time is a precious gift from God, which we as Christians are to invest to the glory of his holy name. In verse 17, prior to our text, Paul wrote, "Let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned, to which God called you." Christians in Paul's day faced persecution and death for bearing witness to their faith. In our country, the person of Christians usually takes a more subtle form: ridicule, harassment, jokes. There are those, however, who see the world in which we live as becoming more hostile to those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ as their Redeemer and Savior. Whatever the situation, we need to remember the promise that our Lord made through St. John: "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." The Lord himself empowers us to be faithful through word and sacraments. Paul and other early Christians anticipated that the resurrected and ascended Lord would return in glory during their lifetime. Because he has delayed his return, we are tempted to live as though Jesus Christ will not return in glory during our lifetime. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians at Thessalonica, and we need the same reminder. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. In Psalm 90, a psalm attributed to Moses, we are invited to pray to the Lord, "Lord, so teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart." In our text, Paul counseled the married to be as though they were unmarried. On the basis of the context and Paul's comments regarding marriage elsewhere in his writings, we cannot and must not draw the conclusion that he was telling married people to dissolve their marriages. The married were to be as the unmarried. Paul assumed that the unmarried will have more time for the Lord's work, for the study of Holy Scripture, for prayer, for worship, witness, and acts of love. Married and unmarried alike, mindful that they have been bought with the price of Christ's suffering, crucifixion, death, and burial, are to set their priorities in the light of God's word. The things of this world will pass away, as well as human relationships. What will ultimately count will be our relationship to Jesus Christ, through faith in him who rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and will return to claim us as his own. Grace, mercy, and peace from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.